today's featured guest, Ralph Acampora of Altera Wealth Management.
Co-founder of Chartered Market Technician Designation, the CMT, Director of Technical Research, Smith Barney Kidder, Peabody Prudential Securities, published author, popular lecturer. Welcome back, Ralph Acampora.
Thank you.
Would you like to add to some of your more current activities? I know there's got to be a lot of eager technicians in the audience.
Well, I always love to see young people and to talk to them about a subject they probably don't get at university. So my hobby, my venture, my avocation now is to go to universities. I was just at Texas A&M a couple of months ago. I'm going to the University of Chicago in November, and I'm collecting baseball caps from all the universities. That's my hobby.
You know, you're right. It's been anathema, hasn't it, for so many decades? But evidence is overwhelming. I mean, starting at the exact same time of Fama, 1970, where he was making the case, you know, for the efficient market hypothesis, there were detractors of the EMF and the MPT ideologies, long memory, whatever term you want to call it. Let's call it a trend, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I did a research for my slide deck that I use for my presentations, and I went back to the Bible in technical in finances called Security Analysis by Graham and Dodd. And I find in there quotes where he says the most important thing for an analyst, any analyst, is price. Hello. Yeah. That's what we do. We start with price. And then he talks about time. He talks about time is important. Then behavioral finance, which he didn't use that phrase, but he talked about sentiment. Yes, that's the backbone of what we do, and that's the core of the CMT exam.
Interesting, because, you know, W.D. Gann was, I think, one of the big forerunners of the time component of those three.
Yes.
In the inverted head and shoulder and the head and shoulder pattern, how absolutely critical it is to look for the right shoulder, if you will, on either one of the patterns there.
Exactly right. I love to use the phrase fusion analysis. I didn't coin that phrase. A fellow by the name of John Palicka in New York City did. God bless him, because that's what we all should be doing. Fusing all the inputs, start with economics and fundamental quantitative analysis, and then for sure the last thing you have to look at is the technical. And I don't even call it technical analysis anymore. I call it data visualization. Because what we have in front of us are all these wonderful machines, these computers, and the way they present the data today. Heck, you got to look for those trends you were just talking about.
It reminds me of that Garry Kasparov and the showdown between the Russian grandmaster champion and then, of course,
oh, yes,
the IBM machine, Deep Blue, the computer. Bring this all together. Your idea of fusion, I think, is so important because it's sort of like having that edge, meaning the human mind and the computer mind fusing, working together. It gives you an incredible competitive advantage.
You want to hear a great statistic? The Chartered Market Technicians exam, which it's coming up, we have a record number of people taking the exam now. That's fantastic. That follows on the comment you made before about now it's becoming more and more popular. I'm very, very proud of that. That's a huge accomplishment and something that more and more people are becoming aware of, especially in the regulators. I want it to be, and it is becoming our equivalent of the CFA. Which rightly so it belongs, and the students should work hard to attain that accreditation. That's very, very important.
I think the hallmark of successful investors going back not just 100 years, but all the way back to the founder of Candlestick, the rice trading in Japan about 300-400 years ago. And he looked for those trends and had, according to legend, folks that would carry the prices about every few miles or so all the way to Osaka in his home there from the major exchange, gave us so much of the technical analysis we use today. It worked and it works now. What a year of trends. Dow Jones, S&P 500, NASDAQ regularly closing, at least in recent weeks, near record highs, depending on what metric you consider. Do you see this trend persisting?
Absolutely. In fact, I was quoted last week as saying, I'm very excited because no one else is. I'm telling you, this is a market, and I've been doing this 50 years, and I tell you, this is one of the rarest moments when I've seen a market so hated by so many people. We're making all-time new highs as we have this conversation right now. Across the board. And I don't think I can ever remember in 50 years when the market this time round was led by market breadth, before the leading averages made new all-time highs. Majority of individual stocks forging ahead. That's like the army leading the generals instead of the general leading the army. That's phenomenal as far as I'm concerned. I think we're on the verge of a melt-up. And it's going to be led by technology.
Because the sentiment is screaming the opposite. My favorite fear-greed index, the greed is off the charts. But we just see pattern after pattern of breakout here. As you say, the breadth is remarkable because there's nothing like nervousness among the herd.
You know, I think I heard someone on the TV this morning talking about the public not in the market and all that. You know what? Trust me. There's nothing like rising price stock prices to bring the public back into the market. And if they're not in right now, I think that's the biggest plus you can talk about it, because they will come in at some point. And I venture to say they're coming in at much higher prices.
I know one individual who has been calling the top on this market for a year. And every time it goes down, it bounces right back up.
You know, you can't be right all the time. So you can't fight. You can't fight the dynamics that are going on right now. If you continue to do that, then I don't know. I can't understand it. You know what's really impressive, and we didn't talk about it, is the fact that, you know, people keep saying, what's the stimulus on the way up? My question is, what's the stimulus on the way down? If Brexit didn't break this market down big time, I don't know what will. That was the final test, that two-day sell-off on Brexit.
From your perspective, it's really a contrarian plus, because the decline was so muted, so mediocre, it should have just led to a meltdown.
I don't know. And when it was happening, it didn't feel mediocre to me. It was scary. And when it turned, I was, honest to God, I wrote a report about the second quarter. I do these reports on every quarter for my little company. And I started out by saying, wow, what a quarter. Who would have ever expected that? I don't think anyone, honestly, if they were honest with themselves, would have expected that kind of a turnaround. And you know, while we're talking, the FTSE is not very far from making another all-time new high, the FTSE itself.
You know, it reminds me of Livermore's comments. Maybe I've quoted it too much here on the show, but he says, watch those reactions. You know, and if the reaction isn't too bad, likely you're going to see higher highs.
That's exactly what we're going through.
Very good. Well, give us an idea of your thoughts, please, on the precious metals.
I think, and I would not have said this a year ago, but I've been saying this for the last couple of months, I think gold and silver put in a bottom. In fact, the most recent activity coming off the lows have taken out a lot of those downtrends. So I think any kind of consolidation here is part of that base building process. In fact, on my Twitter account, I think last time I gave a target of somewhere around 1425, 1435, something near term for gold. So I think gold and silver have turned the corner, as I said. And, you know, it doesn't mean, because if you get a little strength in gold, that equities go down, because they can both go up simultaneously.
You know, that leads to my next question for you. Several of our top favorites on here on the show have expressed their concerns, their reticence regarding unusual situation with bonds moving higher, stocks, equities, commodities, the CRB index turning the corner, even crude oil caught a bottom 2 weeks ago with a long hammer-like pattern, finding support, by the way, I think it was the 200-period moving average.
We should always question things. And when I look back, just imagine you living in Europe and getting no returns. Where are you going to go with your money? Seriously, where can you go? Yeah. Got to come here. They're coming here. That's where this money is. That's where the money is coming from.
And remember Shinzo Abe's regime as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like $4 trillion in pension funds in Tokyo. And they get anxious. They want to know that their retirement's going to be a little better. Negative interest rates, not so enticing. We've got $13 trillion right now in sovereign debt.
I like the leadership. And I think that's what you got to be looking at. Technology is a big part of that, of course. And you got basic industries, and you got industrials coming on. And that's that new leadership is what's carrying this. And I think the ultimate head fake is going to be when financials pick up. And I'm just waiting for that for those to break out. And if I was a long-term investor, I'd be buying the financials.
Isn't that a little unusual? Because memory serves, financials have at least a tendency to lead the market either higher or lower.
Yes, that's also an interesting phenomenon with this market. They haven't. But technology and breadth, and when I say breadth, then you got to start looking at small and mid-cap stocks, the Russell and the S&P mid-cap index. I mean, they look fantastic.
Do you attribute the fact that financials have maybe lagged a bit, although you, I think you'd agree in the years leading up, they were on red hot on fire for many years. But
yes.
Do you attribute the recent sluggishness to the lackluster rates? Because Econ 101, most financial institutions have a tendency to benefit from the spread between their loans and, of course, the interest they can earn.
Absolutely. But at some point, that will change also. Rates won't stay down this low. At some point, the Fed's going to have to start raising rates. And, you know, everybody will get nervous about it. You know, what's a quarter of a percent? It doesn't make that much difference. It really doesn't.
You know, the Fed funds futures now look like no rate hikes until probably 2017. Maybe we'll be at 75 to 100 basis points. Anything that maybe you're nervous about or perhaps individual securities that you're watching closely?
No, I just want to say to people, stay bullish. Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. We'll be right back.